I wanted to just share with you tonight from 2 Peter. If you can turn in your Bibles to 2, I said Peter. That's like I said Taiwan. I meant Timothy. I was telling Brother Paul that my daughter was going to Taiwan. And he kept saying Tortola. They both started with T. So, excuse my voice. Something's funny going on with my voice. So it may crack now and then, but it'll just add to the delivery. 2 Timothy, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 and 9. Very familiar portion of Scripture. So open in your Bible, start your device. No, that's how it is today. You know, how many here have a device? Come on, look at this, you know. You don't know whether they're on their phone or whether they're looking at the Word. It's very difficult. But it's a new day, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 1, this is what we read there. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, right? And of love and a sound mind. So that's what God has given us, and that's wonderful. Let me ask you something. Have you ever received a gift that made you speechless? I mean, you were overwhelmed with. Did you ever get a gift like that? I see you thinking. No one got an over-the-top gift. You couldn't believe it. Stefan, I saw you shaking yes. Can I ask you what it was? Private. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Nothing too deep. Come on. I think, you know, many of us can think back at a Christmas time. I know one of mine, I wanted a spider bike. Do you know what that is? Spider bike. It had a banana seat. Banana seat, and it had, what did they call that? A sissy bar in the back? Do you know what I'm saying? Taiwan? But that, you know, it was this beautiful spider bike. Banana seat, had the long seat. And then a sissy bar in the back like that. You know, it's just a bar bent like that. It's crazy. I have to describe this. But Walter Dill, my neighbor, he had one. He's always showing it off, riding up and down the street. You know, and my brother and I, we had these makeshift stuff, you know, that was, I don't know where my father got it from, but the wheels were all bent and everything. And he had this spider bike, banana seat, sissy bar, and for the first time ever, you could change gears. That was pretty cool. We wanted it. But my mother said, no way. We can't do it. We can't afford it. You're not going to get it. And, boy, she was a master at making us believe this, that there's just, I would like to, but, you know, things are tight. Your sister went off to college. We can't do this. Yada, 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 I think they say. Well, guess what happened Christmas? No bike. No bike under the tree. No, you know, my brother and I got up thinking, she's so full of baloney. Why would she talk all this rhetoric and not get... But we got up and there was absolutely no bikes under the tree. To say the least, there were other things. And I couldn't believe it. I said... My brother and I looked at each other and said, this rots, is what we said. Although we made like we enjoyed everything else. And then we went to Christmas dinner, and we were at the table. And she said, I think I, you know, this is like out of one of those classic Christmas movies. Oh, I think I hear something on the porch. No, Mom, did you write this? And sure enough, we went on the porch, and there were what a gift, what a Christmas. I mean, we were overwhelmed with the idea that she actually got us two of these spider bikes. And not only that, poor Walter Dill, we ran him off the road a couple times. It was so much fun. And I hope that you've experienced, and I think some of you did, if I took the time, and I won't tonight, but I think you could share, like, yeah, I remember, I got a gift like that. But the one I remember the most is a friend of mine, you know, we're seniors, and it's his birthday, and he comes over and he tells me, guess what I got for my birthday? And so I'm thinking, spider bike? What? I don't know. He got a car for his birthday. A car. And a new car. And they did the whole bit with the bow and everything. And when he went down and opened his garage, they said, go down to the garage. Now, anybody here ever get a car for your birthday? I don't want to know about it, Joel. Sorry, knee kick reaction. You know, I couldn't believe it. And it was nice, too. It was a nice car. And I started thinking when, on my 17th birthday, just perhaps, because my mother, she's always saying, you're never going to get it, you're never, we, you know, don't even dream of it. And then I came to the realization, we didn't even have a garage. So how could I expect a car? And I didn't get a car. I think they took me for my license. But you know, gifts are amazing things. And here's the definition. What is a gift? It's a thing given willingly to someone without payment, or it's a present. But also gift in the dictionary has another definition. It's a natural ability or a talent. Wow. I appreciate people who are gifted, don't you? I admire their gifts. Try not to envy. Although I do. Like, I always wanted to be a singer. And you could tell that I'm halfway there. You know, I appreciate music so much, but I'm not a musician. But I appreciate those who have a gift and can harmonize, like what we heard tonight, or play an instrument. That's a wonderful gift to have. There are others. I always admired those who were athletic. You know, I have an art ability. So, you know, I'm drawing daisies and things. But I admire those who could play baseball or football. I had friends on the football team, and I thought, boy, that's a gift to be athletic like that. It's a gift to get good grades. That's what I told myself when I didn't. I said, it's a gift to get good grades. But, you know, we all are handed down gifts. We all have gifts one way or another. And some of the gifts that we get, we acquire from our family, and it's passed down through us. But I thought in thinking of gifts, of things that we inherited from our father or perhaps our mother, talents that we have, like I have an ability to draw. My mother had an ability to draw, and her family had an ability to draw. And thus, my daughter Catherine's a very good artist. It passes down. But I thought about some of the bad gifts. Did you ever get a bad gift? Did you ever get a gift that, you know, you wondered why he gave it to you? Well, I remember a Sunday school teacher who seemed to enjoy to give us, at Easter time, chickadees and ducks, real ones. And they're so cute and adorable, you know, and she thought this was the greatest thing. And my parent, we were fairly new in the church, and born again, God had met us, and we gave our hearts to the Lord, and so we were into being nice, because we were excited about Christ. And so when the Sunday school teacher would come over with these live chickadees and ducks, my mother, she was just like, oh, thank you. But you know what happens with chickadees and duckies? They get bigger. Yeah. And my father, who grew up on a farm, he liked this. So he kept them. And the chickens turned into roosters. She gave, and then we had hens, and then the ducks. And we didn't live on a farm. We lived in a neighborhood. You know, residential. And our backyard turned into Animal Farm. And then we had these, my father kept them, and I'm not making this up. And the next year, the same Sunday school teacher who thought it would be boring to give them chickadees and ducks thought she'd give us a couple rabbits. And please, either I'm the biggest liar or I had a crazy life. We ended up with 15 rabbits. Absolutely true. And my father was delighted because in this little neighborhood in his backyard was this crazy farm of 15 rabbits. He kept building cages. And has anybody here have a rabbit? I know you had a rabbit, right, Anna? You had a rabbit. You have a rabbit? Those little guys can make a mess. And if you got 15 of them, boy, oh boy, I'm telling you. Finally, it got to a place where, we moved. And we had to take some of the animals with us, but my mother insisted that the rabbits go. But we brought the chickens and the ducks with us. I have to tell you this, and I will get to a serious word. But until one of the roosters named Chester attacked the neighbor and pecked the neighbor's daughter, you know, because she was over and the thing jumped over. And then my mother had a good excuse to say, that's it. So how we were going to get rid of these things? Well, we found somebody who thought that they would be very delicious. And that's how that went. Sometimes you get a bad gift, though. And that's funny, but at the time, it was kind of a bad gift in many ways, especially for my mother. But sometimes when we examine ourselves, I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you gave me that gift from my mom of art, which I've enjoyed so much, that gift in my life. And passed down. But then I started thinking, well, I wonder what gifts I got from my father. It's not a love for animals. It wasn't that. But, you know, I started looking at, I wonder what, I said, I think I have his hairline. But it's not quite a gift, but it's just an inherited thing. And I started thinking of, you know, other traits. Like my wife noticed that I do, she said, I noticed something that you do that you got from your father. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, when things get tense, you go like this. And I go, get out of here, I do not. But it's true. We find these things. But I began thinking and noticing some of the gifts in my friends. Now, they're not really good gifts. You know, it's easier to notice the bad gifts, right? I started noticing that my one friend was just not a good listener. I would get halfway through one of my long stories, and he just would walk away. Oh, how I hate that. Or he would just look at me with glazed eyes, and when I got the feeling that he really wasn't listening, I would ask a question, and he wouldn't know the answer. And when I finally went over to his house for dinner, and I met his father, and we were around the table, I remember talking at the table, because his mom asked me something, and his father had the paper like this, and the whole meal, his father was like this. And I'm not making that up. And then I realized, oh, I see. I see where he got his listening habits from. Or how about this? Have you ever noticed in somebody that they're easily angered? And there's a reason for that. Or self-centered? Well, I started wondering about this passage, and I wondered about Timothy, who had timidity. That word timidity is dilia in the Greek, and it means absolutely just timidity, the shyness, you know, backwardness. He had this gift, and I wonder if he had gotten that from his family. that kind of gift. And it was hindering him. And that's when we look at this passage here. Paul, he reminds Timothy of something wonderful. Because sometimes in our life, I was speaking, let me give you an instant. I was speaking to a foster child. We had one time in the Kingsburg Church, five foster children that were in my Sunday school class. And their stories were disheartening, what some of them went through. And not only of their families, but the foster homes that they ended up in. One of them, by the name of Rich, he shared with me an incident that broke my heart. He said that he turned 18 and they had put him in a halfway house, he needed a ride, and he called the cab, and he hadn't seen his natural father for years. But guess who the cab driver was? His father. And he could hardly have a conversation with him. And he said his father took him to where he needed to go and charged him the fare. And he said when he got dropped off and his father pulled away in that cab, without hardly having a conversation with him, just the acknowledgement that, yes, you know, he said that he began to just cry. And he said to me, he said, I recognize that some of my reactions in life, some of the way that I treat people, was because of the way I was treated. Now, that's a lousy gift, ain't it? I had a great father and mother. But I know that sometimes circumstances, situations, father things in us. But the good news that Paul gave Timothy was this. He reminded him that he has a greater father, that he has a greater relationship. And that's what I just want to leave with us tonight. I thought of this verse from Titus. It says this, from Titus 3, 4 through 7. Just listen to these words. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And I love that, the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Then let's add to that Romans 8, 16 through 17. We read this. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. There's a whole new relationship when we receive Jesus Christ, isn't there? Jesus reconciles us back to the Father. And in that reconciliation, in that reconnection of our Heavenly Father with the creation, us, He gives gifts to men. He fills us with Himself. I thought of that verse from Galatians 4, 6 as well. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. This is such a wonderful thing because it means whatever circumstance, whatever situation that has happened in my life that might have fathered a bad gift, that might have produced in me a trait that I don't like, is erased because of the Holy Spirit. And I have a Heavenly Father that has given me good gifts. Verse 17 of Romans 8 is this, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified with Him. So here are three gifts that we get from our Heavenly Father that are for every one of us. And Paul mentions them to Timothy, but they're really for every one of us if we accept them. And what are they? Well, the first one he mentioned is power. But before he did, he said to Timothy, you need to stir them up. You need to recognize them and say, thank you, Lord, for these. I recognize that you have given them to me. So let's look at power. And you know it's dunamis, right? I just want to read to you what it is. Strength, power, ability. Inherent power. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power for performing miracles. Moral power and excellence of soul. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, hosts. That's quite a great definition. Let me just sum it up easy for us. It means that it's enough power for you to stop saying, I can't. And that's powerful. Because when we feel like, Lord, I just can't. I can't go forward. There's not enough in me. We have a gift from the Holy Spirit called what? Power. The power of the Holy Spirit. And thank God for that. Sometimes we just need to stir it up. Christ empowers us to say yes. In Luke chapter 10, 19 through 20, this is what we read. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Also, Acts 1. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And there's so many other verses where we're promised power. Well, do you feel powerless tonight? Do you feel maybe there's something in your life that you're just constantly battling with? And you feel like, Lord, I just can't get over this. I can't. This is something that's a block. Well, the good news is, just as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, you need to stir up with the gift that God has given you. You know, it's so easy to stir up the circumstance or the situation that an enemy has dumped into your life, right? But we need to say, God, I stir up the gift that you've given me. And that's that power, the power to say yes. The second thing that he mentioned to Timothy is love. Romans 5:5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And that's the second thing that God gives us, is love. Have you allowed God to flood your heart with his love? Because that heals everything. But you know, you have to allow him to do that. Here's the last thing, which is so good, a sound mind. Because confusion is from the enemy. And you know, it troubles me when I see so many young people at a point of confusion, where they don't know what to do, which way to go. The future to them is frightening and scary. You know, confusion is of the enemy. And God has promised us a sound mind. Let me read a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Philippians 4:6, which I'm going to speak on tomorrow morning. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So here's three wonderful gifts that are ours through the Holy Spirit. It's not three gifts that you feel. You know, that you feel powerful. It's not three gifts that you always feel love. It's not the three gifts that you always feel that sound mind. This is all from the Holy Spirit. Then it's ours to have. And that's good news, isn't it? So I thought tonight we should just take a moment before we say amen and are dismissed to say, Heavenly Father, stir these things up in me. Don't let them become dormant. Don't let the enemy so move by circumstances and situations that he squelches these things. It'll make a difference in our day if we're conscious enough to say, Lord, stir this up in me. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let's give the Lord a moment just to do that. This is the wonderful good gifts that God has for you. And maybe you need one of these tonight in a special way. Maybe you're confused. Well, God's not the author of confusion. And he has light for us. Or maybe you have a situation where there's someone you just have trouble loving. Well, God can give you that gift of love, to be able to love. But perhaps there's something in your life that you just feel powerless about. Well, his gift to you would be power. Oh, Lord Jesus. Dear God, we take your help, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Thank you, dear Jesus. Oh, God. Teach us, Lord, how to stir up the good gifts that you've given us. Oh, Lord Jesus, we pray that you will, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, dear Jesus. We do believe you, oh, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that relationship we have with our Father, our Heavenly Father. Oh, God, we thank you for that reconciliation, that we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we are yours. Oh, Lord God, right now in this moment before we're dismissed, do a work in us, Lord. Oh, God, encourage our hearts that these good things are ours through the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. We believe you to do it, Lord. Oh, thank you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you, dear Jesus. Yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, yes, yes. Will you stand with me and let's sing it again? I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, yes, yes. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, yes. Lord Jesus, oh God, oh thank you, Lord, we thank you, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, oh God, we pray, oh Lord, we thank you for your kindness to us, oh God, we thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus, oh God, for your goodness to us, oh Lord Jesus. Praise you, dear Jesus. We thank you, dear Lord. Oh, Father, we thank you, dear God. Lord Jesus, hallelujah. We do thank you. We are grateful tonight for your kindness and your love, Lord. That you perfect that which concerns us. And, Lord, that you're able by the power of your grace to overcome any circumstance, situation, any poor gift that might have been handed down. Lord, we're thankful that those things come under the blood of the Lamb, and our Heavenly Father gives us good gifts and the Holy Spirit, and we thank you. And we do thank you tonight, Lord, for the power you give us to overcome. Lord Jesus, it's all through the blood of the Lamb that you enable us to do that. We pray, God, that we'll not be so foolish as to be victims to circumstances and situations, but we'll claim the power that you've poured out. We ask, God, that we'll love like you love. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give us that sound mind and rational thoughts, that we might think as you think. We trust you to do that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we believe it to be implanted in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're dismissed. Of course, as always, if you care to wait on the Lord, feel free to do that. I'll ask, though, if you do go, that you are quiet outside here in case some do want to wait on the Lord, and that we don't disturb them. God bless you.